What does Noel mean? Good news. Good news. Good news. Glad tidings. I wonder if there's someone here today downhearted. You've been disappointed. Life's thrown you a curveball. You've lost your house. You relapsed. I don't know what your problem is, but I do know this. I've got some good news for sinners. And here's the good news. It was given a long time ago there in the book of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you feel yourself to be a sinner today, an unworthy, no good for nothing sinner, I've got some glad tidings for you. If you're down or depressed, I've got some good news for you. Christ Jesus did, on the tree of the cross, save all of his people over 2,000 years ago. He didn't try to save them. He's not attempting to save them. He did save them. The great transaction is done. I hear so much bad news today with regard to God and the gospel, that God's waiting on the sinner, that God has done all he can, that God is trying to save sinners. You know, I say to you way in the back there, maybe you used last night or day before or whatever, to those of you who are here and in your head, you're so messed up about this matter of sin and a Savior, that Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago on the tree of the cross, paid somebody's sin debt in full. Say, well, how do I know it's me? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If right now, in all of your misery, sitting right where you are, can with your heart say, I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all, thou shalt be saved. It's trusting Christ, not yourself. So the good news is this, and tell everybody in church today, in most churches today, this message will not be preached. The message, if you will, God will be preached. If you do, God will do. You take the first step, and God takes the second step. That is a hopeless message. The good news is, way back there, many, many years ago, Jesus Christ on the tree of the cross said, it's finished, it's accomplished, it's done. I have paid the sin debt. He shall save his people. This whole matter of salvation of poor sinners is filled with certainty. Absolutely sure salvation. God saved his people. God, in Christ, paid the debt. We call it God's salvation because it was God who came to earth. It was God who condescended. You see, God doesn't ever do anything halfway. Whatever he sets out to do, he does. He's the God who said of old, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my purpose, my plan, my counsel shall stand. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Isn't that great? You purpose and I purpose and we all together purpose to do a lot of things. We're about to celebrate the new year. As soon as we get past this one, tomorrow, this celebration, we'll celebrate a new year and we will make all kinds of New Year's resolution. We will carry none of them out. Miss Pam and I are already making plans. We have resolved we're going to lose pounds and pounds of fat. But we got to get past Christmas because we'll have great desserts and, you know, a great meal. We resolve to do. God, when He resolves, He does. And I hope that in the past few Sundays, you have began to see God coming to earth is a big deal. He didn't come here to try to save somebody. So for all of you who have sold your bodies, you've given yourself to drugs, your life is in shambles, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you qualify? I got some good news for you. He can save even you. And did on the tree of the cross as far as the sin debt is concerned. Matthew 1:22 says this. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." Hundreds of years, Isaiah said that. Hundreds of years before this actually took place. "Shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name," in the Hebrew, "Emmanuel." God with us. I just got goosebumps all by myself up here, just thinking about this. God, the God of creation, the mighty God, who stepped out of eternity one morning and said, "Let there be light." And there was. Can you imagine that? Being saved by this God. Our God, who is our Savior, is a God of shalls and wills. With Him, there is no peradventure. With God, there is no chance. There's not chance. God is not giving sinners a chance. Dead men don't need a chance. They need life. And that's what God came to do, to give us life and give it more abundantly. Some of you are believers, but you are still living with the old thoughts. How could God ever love me? You are still acting like you're dirty. Listen, my friend, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Free indeed. Listen to the shalls and wills of God. I thought about these last night. John 6 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." You're back there saying, "I haven't come to Christ yet." Well, what's hindering you? The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Come to Christ now. There is no reason for you to sit back there under condemnation right now. You can come to Christ right now. Wouldn't it be great if somebody just got up and came forward and said, "I trusted Jesus Christ. I've given it all up. I can't do it. I can't make it on my own. My baptism and all of that churchy stuff, I throw it all away. I've fallen. I've relapsed. I've done this. I've done that. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." Come to Christ. Acknowledge Him. I'm just going to stop. This is not in my notes, but I'm going to stop right now. I wonder if there's anyone that just wants to stand up right now and say, "I, for the first time in my life, am trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior." Where are you? All right, then I'll preach more. John 10:15-16 says, "I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Anybody want to stand up and say, "I just heard His voice. I've heard from God today. He's calling me to faith in Jesus Christ." Anyone? I'm waiting. All right, I'll preach some more. John 10:28. and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Say, oh, but Pastor, I'm such a mess. Let me read it to you again. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Are you getting goosebumps yet? You ought to be. In the Old Testament, our God said to Moses, God's always had a plan. Don't you understand? This coming of God to earth as a Savior, this mystery of godliness was with God before the world. He's the one that made the plan. And he came into the world. And here's what he said to Moses, who was a bit fearful about leading the children out of Israel, out of Egyptian bodies. He said, I am the Lord. Well, that's the first thing you need to find out. Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road said this when he was struck down. That Christ hater, that God rejected. Lord, who art thou? And here was the answer. I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I'm the Redeemer. I'm the Atoner. I'm the propitiation for sin. I'm the Justifier. I'm the Christ of God. I'm God in human flesh. Moses, I'm the Lord, and I will bring you out. Some of you in here are like, it's too late. I've done too much. I've gone too far. And the Lord is yelling in your ears through this preacher, though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash you white as snow. That's the good news. That's the glad tidings. Though you wallowed in the stables of sin, though you are black as all hell, I will wash you white as snow. That's what this God says. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of your bondage. I've been a heroin addict. I've been a crack addict. I don't care what kind of addict you are. If the sun sets you free, my chains fell off. Oh, this is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I will take you to me for a people. Me. You ever think about it? I'm one of God's kids. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It's all mine in Christ Jesus. I'm accepted in the beloved. I will never be taken out of the will. He's built for me a mansion over there. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. I will be your Lord. I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I'm the Lord, your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Oh, it's not hard for a little child of God, when convinced of the Holy Spirit, to sing, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. Somebody ought to in here say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What are the meanings of these names given here in Matthew 1? Jesus, Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. You know, Jesus is a heavenly name. Heaven brought this name to him. His name shall be called Jesus. And it was. It's a heavenly name. A name that casts out fear. Fear not. Oh, when Jesus comes to you, you need not fear, because he has good tidings for you. He has washed you white as snow. Jesus, the Lord of salvation. Jehovah's Savior. The Savior is the meaning of his name. It's the best name. I love to say it. He's the Savior. Savior. He saved me. Even me. Jesus. Jesus. That's why the songwriter penned these words. There's just something about that name. Savior. Jesus. Save me. You did not save yourself. He's Jehoshua. In the Old Testament, Joshua and Jesus. The Old Testament, where Joshua is Jesus. And what Joshua means is he's the deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer. Some of you are waiting around for somebody to invent some other drug to get you off of the drugs that you've been on for 15 years. There's only one that can do that, and that's Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen? Deliverer. And he's not only your deliverer, but he's your preserver. He'll keep on working in you. You don't know how many times I have quit preaching. I've quit so many times, and here I am. But there's a fire burning in my bones, and I could not stay. You see, he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Say, well, I was saved 60 years ago in old Beulah Baptist Church. Yeah, and here you are in Grace Gospel. And you know why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. This God who saved you, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Amen. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, but the Holy Spirit's power in me will not let me go and keeps me and perseveres me. God with us, God our Savior, able to save to the uttermost. Let me tell you, my friend, to say that any act that man himself commits is part of him saving himself as blasphemous. The church ought to go wild when they have a pastor who says, salvation is of the Lord from first to last. He's the Alpha in salvation. He's the Omega in salvation. And he's everything in between. It's all by grace. It's grace that puts you in the way. Grace that leads you along the way. And God's amazing grace that takes you all the way. And the people of God say, amen. 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 I'm about to get happy on Christmas Eve. And who did he come to save? He's a Savior. There could be no Savior if there were not people to save. How can you be a Savior without people to save? Now, my proclamation and the Bible proclamation is that he came to save them, and he did. Is that good news? That is good news. There could be no Savior if there were no sinners to save. That's what I'm saying. God came down to save his people who were sinners. That's amazing. I never get tired of hearing that because I sin every day. You do too. You may lie and pretend like you don't, but you do. God came to save his people who were sinners and could not save themselves. That's just a flat-out fact. His people. His elect. Yes, I will say it again. According he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God, in eternity past, chose, elected a people to save. How come it's getting quiet in here? Oh, that's good news. You don't have to look ugly about that. Now he's going to preach election. What a glorious thing. I've been chosen of God. Not because of any good in me. Not because of any merit in me. Not because of anything that I would ever do. We call that sovereign grace. You say, well, what about my brother? What you ought to do is get down on your knees and thank God for saving your soul. And thank God for making you whole. And then say, Lord, if it will please you, save my brother. God doesn't have to save anybody. God's not obligated to save anybody other than the obligations he puts himself under. But from all eternity, God saw you down in the hood. God saw you in the crack house. God saw you at the mall. God saw you. God saw you being churchy and pharisaical as if you could save yourself. God saw everything you have ever done or said or thought. So there was no merit. So he sovereignly elected. We're bound to give thanks for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Well, who are we going to thank? Man's free will? No, we're going to thank God. We're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. You didn't know it, did you? Little alley rat down there smoking pot and weed and, you know, all that other stuff. There's nobody in here that has not fallen way short of the glory of God. No, nobody in here. He shall save his people. He elected them. He chose them. And he predestinated them. Therefore, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ who died. God in human flesh paid our sin debt. I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor crack, nor heroin. Oh, no, it doesn't say that, but it means that. Shall separate me from the love of God. You can't even separate yourself. So he came to save sinners. John 17, which is the true prayer of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. I know we're dealing with deep truths here, but our God is a great God, and the truths of Scripture are deep. This amazing grace is so deep that it's amazing. It's so awesome. In fact, I don't think I will ever get, I know I will never get over this, that God in sovereign grace chose to save me, the tumble bug that I was on the dunghill of sin, looking like every other tumble bug. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? Oh, let's make heaven go wild today by praising God for salvation by grace. How about this one? Before I formed you in your mother's belly. Oh, that has all kinds of implications. I could say all kinds of things. Before Dad went to bed with Mom, before the sperm hit the egg, I had loved you. Hey, isn't that great? When you were a fetus, before that, I loved you. When you started to grow those little toes and fingers, oh, before that, I loved you. In fact, before I stepped out of eternity and flung the Milky Way in the heavens, before that, I loved you. Before the first dew ever came down to the earth, before that, I had already loved you. Wow, loved of God, chosen of God. His name shall be called Jesus. This is the reason tomorrow, today, and every day, you ought to go around saying something like this from your heart. You don't have to be all religious about it, but bless his name. Bless his glorious name. Jesus saved even me. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. Just think about this. What is the first link between Emmanuel and his people? It's not their goodness, but their badness. The fact of their sinnership. He came to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Just think about it. The first link between my soul and the Savior was not my goodness, but my badness. Not my merit, but my misery. Not my riches, but my need. Not my standing, but my falling. He came not to admire my beauties, but to remove my deformities. Oh, those of you who are here this morning, this Christmas Eve morning, who are self-condemned sinners. I wonder today if there's a self-condemned sinner. I wonder if we have a self-condemned sinner in this place. If I could find a self-condemned sinner. I know you're all sinners, but I'm looking for a self-condemned sinner. Nobody has to tell you you are a sinner. You already know it, and you are a self-condemned sinner. And if you are feeling something like this, that you will never get salvation unless He brings it to you, I would encourage you, if you are a self-condemned sinner, go ahead, you can cry out loud if you want to, something like this: Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, come for me. I need your salvation. You know, it's worth a try. It's worth a try. I mean, you are so thirsty and you're sitting here thinking, this preacher's out of his head. This can't be true. This is too wonderful. This is too awesome. If I heard him right, he said Christ was for the harlot. Christ was for the streetwalker. Christ was for the drug addict. Christ was for the adulterer. Christ is for those who think themselves to be righteous when they're not. Christ came to save religious people who are sinners. And maybe for the first time, you know, this happened many, many years ago in Brinesville Baptist Church. One Sunday morning, I got up and preached, and we had two visitors there, two ladies. Tootsie was her name. And Ms. Baker, Tootsie and Ms. Baker came to church. And we lived in a small community there. And those two were the you-know-whats of the city. They were prostitutes. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Tootsie, after the service was over, with tears running down her cheeks at the back door, she took my hand. She looked right at me. And she said, "My God, I think I'm a sinner." I could have exploded with hallelujah. I found one. A real bona fide, certified, street walking sinner. And she confessed Jesus Christ as her Savior a few weeks later. Her husband was saved. All of her kids came to know Christ. You know, perhaps some of you are sitting there and you're saying something like this. What does he mean? He said Christ saved us on the tree of the cross, and then he keeps talking about getting saved in experience. I mean, where you come to, you're reconciled to this truth. There's no doubt in your heart and in your mind. Though I am the chief of sinners, I know He came for me. He died for me. He bled for me. He arose again for me. He ascended back into heaven for me. And He's coming again for me. Yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Jesus Christ. Just let your mind wander. Our churches are way too shallow. I want you to think about the things that I have said today. Think about them every day. That preacher said, before the world was, God chose sinners. Christ died on the tree of the cross and paid the debt 2,000 years ago. It's paid. I don't have to go around trying to be good enough. The debt is paid. He finished the work which the Father gave Him to do. He's in heaven now. They're praising Him up there, getting ready for us. Think about it. Think about the Revelation, the book of the Revelation, where around the throne, they're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and praise." Somebody said, "Well, how are you going to know the song? You haven't practiced." Oh, I practice all the time. Every Sunday I practice the song. I practiced for nearly an hour already this morning. But it'll be better when I get there. I might even get down a little bit. You know what I mean? Joy. This is a time of rejoicing. Good news. Good news. Not you have to be good enough. You have to be bad enough. You have to see yourself in need of a Savior. Will you confess Him today? For the first time in your life, has joy flooded your soul about this? He died for me. He paid the debt. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. To those of you who are bipolar, I suspect that I may be one of you. I can be happy one moment and the next minute I'm down in the valley. I do know this. This is good news, glad tidings, whether you're bipolar or you're schizophrenic. Christ Jesus came into the world to save unworthy folks. And He did it. Let's stand together and praise our God.